Welcome to Singing in Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. Many thanks, member supporters. I'm Gary Hickling. On this edition of Singing in Other Sins, we'll hear a replay of the Great Songs Thomas Hampson program from 2008. With me is co-host Amy Healy, and on this edition of Great Songs, we'll hear an interview with Thomas Hampson as well as his song recordings.
Before we hear any of the interview, let's hear Hampson sing.
From my heart, while thy sweet spirit is dreaming, dreaming, unfettered by the day, in melody, I'll breathe my soul. Plain starlight in silence is gleaming. Lightly I'll breathe a refrain round the young heart that is dreaming, 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 unfettered by the day. In melody, I'll breathe my soul away.
The star of this edition of Great Songs, Thomas Hampson, with David Alfer piano in Stephen Foster's Linger in Blissful Repose.
Let's hear Mr. Hampson speak about the beginnings of his art song studies and his take on the relationship between word and music in song.
When I became fascinated with German Lieder, or with song as an essence, which was the get-go when I started singing classical music, Sister Marietta handed me a stack of Schubert and Schumann, Fauré and Duparc, and a bunch of records, and said, go see if anything, you know, sparks your fire. And that was, you know, my life changed. Boom, on a dime. I'd never heard this kind of thing. And so in some ways, my curiosity is just autodidactism, just getting it straight and learning. Since then, I think that it's just a fascinating world. I believe that language is simply the physical symbol of imagination. I think that word is a metaphor of our personal and intimate lives. And poetry is a language that economically, that's too mundane. Poetry is, to me, the kind of symbol of the echoes of our thought. Mm. Each word has its own cosmos, its own life. And I think that's very important. And when that is then encased in a dialogue that I think that very often the music is more concrete than the words themselves. And this is something that is very rewarding to invite people to realize and say, well, actually, don't be blown away by the music. Let the music be the concrete emotional impact of the metaphor, the symbol of word that you're hearing articulated or you've read in the poem itself, and kind of flip this whole dialogue 180 degrees. And it becomes a very rich personal experience. And everybody has to meet this on their own grounds. It's not an art form. I don't believe in getting into art forms. I think that the arts and humanities is the blueprint of our collective existence as people. If you have to get into the arts and letters, somebody stole it from you in the first place.
Thomas Hampson spoke of Sister Marietta Coyle, his first voice teacher, and incidentally, a student of Lotte Lehmann. His serious discussion of the interrelationship of music and poetry can make us consider how we enjoy song and better understand Hampson's involvement as he sings the following, Schumann's Lust der Sturmnacht. When rain pours and storms rage over mountain and valley, the window rattles and the traveler is lost in the night. How sweet to be at peace indoors, lost in love. Richness of life, have mercy. Let me be held safe in soft arms. Spring flowers stir, clouds float away, and birds sing. Never end, you stormy, wild night. Rattle, you window, the waves roar. The radiance of heaven shine around me.
Wenn durch Berg und Tal draußen Regen schauet, Stürme brausen, Schild und Fenster helle klirren und in Nacht die Wander irren. Ruht es sich so süß in
Hampson with Jeffrey Parsons in Robert Schumann's Lust der Sturmnacht, Stormy Night Delight.
Let's hear Thomas Hampson speak about his special kind of project recordings and the future of classical recording.
All of these solo recordings I did with EMI, the Wagner Berlioz Liszt, the Schumann recording, Rossini, Meyerbeer, Walt Whitman, they've all had, you know, centers of gravity. They've been about projects. My interest is history and literature and certainly poetry, poetic thought, especially a poet through the eyes of various composers. The other thing is that we were running video cameras all the whole session because, DVD is really a much more energetic and interesting platform now. Most everybody wants visual with sound, but yet record the sound so that if you don't have visual, it sounds correct as well.
Sounds decent.
This isn't just about Tom Hampson's royalties, which are practically non-existent. It's about keeping an availability of recordings across the board in the repertoire that keeps the whole genre alive. Audio and video podcasts and that sort of thing, that is certainly right now upon us. And I am exploiting that in the best sense of the word over the next 6 months very intensely.
Let's sample some of the project recordings that Mr. Hampson mentioned. First, from his Walt Whitman CD, we'll hear Joy, Shipmate Joy by Vaughan Williams. And from the Berlioz Wagner Liszt recording, we will hear Es muss ein wunderbares sein, It Must Be a Wonderful Thing by Liszt.
Joy, shipmate, joy, please to my soul at death I cry. Our life is closed, our life begins. A long, long anchorage we lead, the ship.
From two project recordings, we heard Joy, Shipmate, Joy by Vaughan Williams with Craig Rutenberg, and Es muss ein wunderbares sein, It Must Be a Wonderful Thing by Liszt. The pianist was Jeffrey Parsons. Let's now hear Thomas Hampson speak about more recent project recordings, followed by a recording of Mendelssohn's On Wings of Song.
The first one was I Hear America Singing, and then I did one on the songs of Hugo Wolf. That is still a 2-CD set. Then there's one on Dvorak and his world, which is American as well as Dvorak. And then the last one was a big exposé called Verboten und Verbannt, meaning forbidden and banned songs. And it confronts the whole notion of hatred and isolationism, as it were, very much along the lines of Entartete Musik, but not just finger wagging. I actually started the whole series with a song by Mendelssohn and go all the way to Eisler. So it was quite a project.
Oh, trag ich dich fort, fort nach den Fluren des Ganges, dort weiß ich den schönsten Ort. Dort liegt mein rotblühender Garten im stillen Mondenschein, die Lotusblumen erwarten ihr traute Schwesterlein. Die Lotusblumen erwarten ihr traute Schwesterlein. Feindliche kichern und kosen und schauen nach den Sternen empor. Heimlich erzählen die Rosen sich duftende Märchen ins Ohr. Es hüpfen herbei und lauschen die frommen, klugen Gazellen. Und in der Ferne des heiligen Stromes Wellen, und in der Ferne Rauschen des heiligen Stromes Wellen. Dort wollen wir niedersehen,
from a Salzburg Festival recital of forbidden and banned songs, we heard Thomas Hampson with Wolfram Rieger in Mendelssohn's On Wings of Song.
From that same recital, let's hear Erich Zeisel's Schrei, written in 1935. A wild train cries in the night, waking people in their beds. Their hearts shake, and the red steam and smoke of the train goes by crying out, "Earth, you are mine, ocean and land and night are mine." In the houses, everyone is awake.
Eine wilde Lokomotive schrie in der Nacht, in den Häusern, in den Betten, sind die Menschen aufgewacht. In den Herzen, die sich hoben, zittert die weiße Schrei. Durch die seichte Freude Stille sauste im Pfannenflut. Roter Rauch auf seine Stirne leuchtet bleich ein Leuch. Sind die Menschen alle?
this edition of Great Songs, we're hearing an interview that Thomas Hampson recorded with Gary in April of 2008. And, of course, Thomas Hampson's recordings. Just now, Eric Zeisel's Schrei, or Cry, with pianist Wolfram Rieger.
From another of these Salzburg Festival performances, I'd like you to hear two selections from the set called Dvorak and His Time. Two American composers. First, from Arthur Farwell's Indian Songs, we'll hear The Song of the Deathless Voice, and from Charles Cadman's Indian Songs, From the Land of the Sky Blue Water.
Oh.
just now Cadman's From the Land of the Sky Blue Water, and before that Farwell's Song of the Deathless Voice. Thomas Hampson with Wolfram Riga. You know, Amy, I'd always been fascinated about the subtle difference between opera and song groundwork, rehearsals and all of that. So I asked Thomas Hampson about this.
When you get in and you sit down with your pianist and for a Lieder recital, mm-hmm. how is that different from when you work with a pianist to prepare an opera role?
That's actually a very interesting question. I think for the opera role, by the time I get to a pianist, I'm looking at memorization. I'm tacking the role down, as it were, for the rehearsal period if it happens to be a new role. And the process of learning an opera character is certainly different than the deciphering of the music and text and intent of a much more intimate world of poetry and music. And I like to see them really as two different languages that mm-hmm. are in conversation with themselves. And working our way through that to illuminate each other's thought processes, I think, is a very, very, very interesting process. There's no question that some of it has to just be repeated so we get it right and we figure out the words and we figure out the, you know, memorization. That's the bane of our existence, you know. But it is also about finding the way that it seems that we are the least controlling of it, that it becomes a life of its own. That's in an opera context perhaps not quite the same preparation, because you're part of a larger scope. You've got other people coming and going. You've got other responsibilities on stage, as it were. So learning an opera role is more about preparing yourself to be part of a larger mosaic, whereas preparing a Liederabend is perhaps more about preparing the mosaic itself in your head.
Let's hear how these preparations come together in a live Salzburg Festival performance of American Song. We'll hear Leonard Bernstein's To What You Said.
My end. have strayed hither for my sake. You can never belong to me, nor I to you. Behold the customary loves and friendships, the cold gods. I am that rough and simple person. I am he who kisses his comrade lightly on the lips at parting. Salute! Behold, love choked. Correct, polite, always suspicious. Behold the received models of the parlor. What are they to me? What to these young men that travel with me?
Thomas Hampson with Wolfram Rieger in Leonard Bernstein's To What You Said.
I know that Mr. Hampson has long been fascinated with the manuscript version of Schumann's settings of Heine's poetry, which was edited later into Dichterliebe, with which we're most familiar. So I am happy that he spoke about this.
They live side by side, the two versions, but in fact Schumann wrote the Dichterliebe, as astonishingly as this is, in 9 days. The 20 songs, and he submitted 20 songs for publication 3.5 years consistently in 4 different publishers. Bota Bock was just a new publishing company, and they turned it down because they just said, this is too big for us, and we don't know what to do with it. Long story short, 3.5 years later, it was accepted by Peters to publish at the same time that they took on the Camiso Frauen Lieben und Leben. Not begrudgingly, but somewhat, okay, we've done other stuff of his, we might as well do this as well. He was on a trip to Russia when they were publishing this. The manuscript is completely intact. There is no indication of who decided or why they decided to take the 4 songs out that they took out. There are significant changes in the setting of the German text, which is actually what really gets my interest the most in this whole thing. Schumann was so far ahead of his time. There is no evidence I have of this kind of true German language text setting to the point of syncopation and almost leitmotif of syncopation and as an indication of the psychopath knight that in the preamble of the Lyrisches Intermezzo is looking at his life sort of backwards and envisioning his perception of this woman who should have loved him as much as he loved her. I mean, this is a very, very disturbed cycle, this Lyrisches Intermezzo. And Schumann went right to the heart of that. And it's always bothered me when I hear people say, oh, Schumann, you know, beautiful songs, but didn't really understand the irony of Heine. That is, to me, an extremely egregious error in the assessment of Schumann's understanding of his own language and certainly the irony of poetry. And this manuscript, I think, bears that out more than anything. There was just one last point. First of all, he was paid for 20 songs, so he wasn't paid for 16. The manuscript has no evidence of when they took it out. It is intact. It is all 20 songs. I don't change the manuscript. I think it's just interesting to hear both things in between. He never use the phrase Dichterliebe. He wrote it twice, and it was after publication, and it was in listings of his works. He only ever referred to this cycle in his letters as my große Heine, my large, great Heine cycle, versus my small one, which is Opus 24. There are actually sketches from the Lyricist Intermezzo that became De Scialiba in Zwickau, and there's 28 sketches, and they are in the order of publication of the poems of the second edition, which is a very interesting idea. I think the crazy guy was gonna set the all 62, you know, Lyricist Intermezzo poems. I really honestly believe that the essence of this cycle, and then that'll close it out, is really was Schumann's Winterreise. I think he saw it as much more existential journey of love and life lost than just a maudlin, somewhat melodramatic, unrequited love story, which very often we hear it sung today. I think there's a darker and more interesting relationship to the Bildersprache, the symbol language that Heine was taking into the first person.
Do you have a preference when you're singing? Do you like to sing the manuscript version or do you like to sing the...
I haven't sung the 16-song version, Dichterie, before probably 10 years. I only sing the manuscript.
Yeah, okay.
It's not because I think it's better or I think it's... One, I can't keep the two versions straight very easily. It makes me crazy.
I can imagine.
But it's something that I do. I'm publishing it. It's something I believe in very strongly. It is always a revelatory evening for everyone involved. This is not about saying that the Dichterliebe is wrong. By any means, but I think we would do well to explore some of the original intents of Schumann. It's significantly different in a lot of ways.
There's obviously several doctoral theses waiting to be written on this subject.
Yes,
but for now, let's first compare Schumann's Im wunderschönen Monat Mai in the two versions. First, the version that we would recognize, the published version, and then the manuscript version. After that, we'll hear one of the songs not included in Dichterliebe. Es leuchtet meine Liebe. My love shines out in its dark splendor, like a sad, somber tale told on a summer night.
Steht still wie ein Bild, der Ring.
sind Bluten zu Hirten. Es stolpert der Riese nach Haus, es stolpert der Riese nach Haus, wenn ich begraben werde. Dann ist das Märchen aus.
First, one verse of the edited and well-known version of Schumann's Im wunderschönen Monat Mai, in the wonderfully beautiful month of May. Then, the manuscript version of the same song that you heard Mr. Hampson speak about. These were followed by one of the songs not included in the Dichterliebe we know, Es leuchtet meine Liebe, My Love Shines Out. Thomas Hampson's pianist was Jeffrey Parsons in the first song, and Wolfgang Sawallisch for the next two.
In my interview with Mr. Hampson, I asked the following question that I knew you, Amy, our Francophile, would have asked.
Do you ever sing Melody?
I used to sing a lot of Melody. I've been really very busy with the American project over the last couple of years, and so it's been a lot of American and German, and I must confess I have not spent as much time in the world of Fauré and Chausson, and I haven't sung much Debussy, I haven't sung much Poulenc. I'm crazy about Duparc and will sing in Amsterdam, and I'm doing a big Duparc group there.
Now that I know he enjoys French songs, let's hear him in Au quand je dors, Oh When I Dream, a French poem by Victor Hugo, set by Liszt.
Die grüne Flamme.
Thomas Hampson with Jeffrey Parsons in Liszt's Au quand je dors, Au when I dream.
I'd just like to mention what a joy it was to get to know Thomas Hampson during the interview. He was both earnest and relaxed, interested in this program of great songs, which he believes is unique, as well as encouraging all of our efforts for art song.
Since he mentioned with some pride his Meyerbeer Rossini CD, let's hear some unusual songs. First, Meyerbeer's Komm, best known in Schubert's version as Das Fischermädchen, the Fisher Girl. Then, Rossini's L'ultimo ricordo, the last memento. The poem tells of a dying man who leaves a flower to his beloved, telling her that it is precious because he stole it once from her bosom on the day that she became his. Now she should adorn her breast again as a symbol of grief.
Schönes Fischermädchen, treibe den Kahn ans Land. Komm zu mir, setz dich nieder, wir kosen Hand in Hand. Leg an mein Herz dein Köpfchen und fürchte dich nicht zu sehen. Vertraust du dich doch sorglos täglich den wilden Meer. Mein Herz gleicht ganz dem Meer. Hat Sturm und Ebb und Flut und manche schöne Perle in seiner Tiefe ruht. Komm, komm, du schönes Fischermädchen, komm, komm, wir kosen Hand in Hand, komm, komm, komm. Siehst du den Abendstern? Oh, komm zur stillen Hütte, wir liebt ist einsam gern. In deine Fesseln liege, den trotzigen wilden Sinn. Sanft wie die Rosenwelle, lenk ihn zufrieden hin. Da draußen auf dem Meer, ist oft Gefahr und Not, senk in mein Herz den Anker von deinem Liebensboot. Komm, komm, du schönes Fischermädchen, komm, komm, wir kosen Hand in Hand, komm, komm, komm. Vor die mir der Lin
appassito fiore. Ti lascio l'impia, ti lascio
Thomas Hampson with Jeffrey Parsons just now in Rossini's L'ultimo ricordo, The Last Memento. Before that, we heard Meyerbeer's Come.
In the time remaining, I'd like to play one more American song, something that is obviously very important for Mr. Hampson.
Is half so fair as thou, thy beauty fair beyond compare, makes me in homage bow. O cruel rose, thou disclose a loveliness divine, but had I seen thy thorns, I ween I'd all thy love.
Thomas Hampson with Wolfram Rieger in Edward MacDowell's O Lovely Rose.
On this edition of Great Songs, we've enjoyed the singing and speaking of one of the world's leading baritones, Thomas Hampson.
You know that I take the public in public radio seriously and enjoy your suggestions and comments. This is Gary Hickling.
And this is Amy Healy. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a replay of the Great Songs Thomas Hampson program from 2008. I'm the host and producer of Singing in Other Sins, Gary Hickling. Aloha.